Hello, good morning. It's another lovely Tuesday, and we bless God for our lives. We continue the series on salvation, and as you've noticed, for the past 2 weeks, we've been dealing with the tripartite nature of humanity. So last 2 weeks, we spoke about the spirit of man, and last week, we dealt with the body of man, and we also talked about the flesh. So today we want to wrap it up with a soul. So from what we have studied from the past 2 weeks, you notice that the body is just the container, and it's more affiliated to the world. It is the means of operation on this earth, and then the spirit is affiliated to the spirit of God, or to God. And it's the part that we get connected to the world. So, in other sense, the body is on one side and the spirit is on another side. Now, the probably most important part of us to live a victorious Christian life and live a life befitting Christ is the soul. So, what is the soul? Now, the soul mostly is referred to in scripture as the heart or the mind. So when you hear, "As a man thinketh, so is he," when you hear, "Out of the heart of man abounds wickedness," these things are talking about the soul. So the soul is basically the seat of your emotions and your will and your intellect. So these are the three basic things that the soul houses: your will, the desires, what you want to do, what you desire to do, and then your emotions. Your emotions, how you react to things, how you feel about things, and then your intellect, your intellectual capability, how you think, how you reason, how you do things. They are all in the seat of the soul. Now, it's important for you to know that the soul is actually what gives everybody his or her personality. So people react to things differently because of their personality, and that is their soul. People wish for different things. So even twins, identical twins, would have different desires or wills, will react to things differently, and that is the seat of the soul. Now, before I move on, I need to say this. So we notice that when man fell, man lost in touch with the spirit of God. So in other sense, the soul responds to what it is fed with. That's what the soul responds to. Now, unfortunately, after the fall of man has been feeding the soul with the things of the world, right? So you notice that even in our days today, when you are growing up, you go to school and you learn a work or a profession. And at the end of the day, by the age of 20, 30, you notice that you've fed your soul so much with the systems of this world. And so most of the times you get inclined to the world, to the system of this world. But it's important for you to know that when you become a Christian, that's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 that you are a new creature, you're a new creation. And so Romans chapter 12 verse 2 says that we should be transformed by the renewal of our mind. Very important. And 1 Peter 1 9 talks about the salvation of the soul. So transformed by the renewal of our mind, that is what the Bible is talking about when the Bible says that our soul should get saved. So it means that when you come into Christ, when you accept Christ, it is our responsibility to make sure that we feed our soul so much with the things of God, so much that the things of God override the things that we have learned, the things that we are affiliated to, the things that we want. So that is the only way you can succumb your will and your soul, your emotions and everything to God. Now let me go on by saying this. So the soul is very essential, very, very essential, because as a matter of fact, everything you do on earth here is as a result of your soul. The way you react, the way you talk, how you do things, when you want to do things, if you want to do it, it's all in the seat of the soul. And so it's very important for us as Christians to pay attention to our soul. Now, this is the point. The other day I was talking about the phases of salvation, which is not really a phase of salvation, it's just a transition. So when you get saved, you get justified, and that is of the spirit. So your spirit gets born again, renewed, and it's instant, and there is nothing you can do about it. You did not do anything to merit that. Now the Bible admonishes us in Philippians 12 that we should work out our salvation. And note that the Bible did not say we should work for our salvation. He says work out our salvation. What that means is that the salvation that has been received of the spirit should be passed on to the soul. In other sense, the soul should be made to succumb, surrender, and be affiliated more, be more inclined to the things of the spirit. And that is the process of working out our salvation. And need I say this, that this is a daily affair, something that we do every day, every single day. You have to actually make sure that every single day your soul is in tune with your spirit. You have to make sure that every day your soul is responding to your spirit every day. The more you do that, the soul becomes more used to the spirit and naturally would always go to the spirit for answers, and will always go to the spirit for solutions, and will always go to the spirit for directions. And so with time, you notice that your will, the things that you want, the things that you desire, are things of the spirit, are things that are dictated by God. Now, I told you that the Holy Spirit is residing in our spirit. And so as every day you seek God, as every day you charge up your spirits, as every day you grow in your spirit, what happens is that your spirit becomes so strong that the flesh becomes diminished, that the soul does not go to the flesh or to the world for answers. And this is very important in our work as Christians. Now, notice this. When Jesus Christ came on earth, Jesus was without sin. So he was not born of man and woman. So the spirit of Jesus was right. Okay, unlike any other person who was born of a man and of a woman, the Bible says that such a person came in. When we learned about the fall of man and sin, we noticed that everybody, your spirit is dead because of the consequences of the fall. But Jesus did not fall in that category. And so Jesus had an upright spirit, but he understood that he had a soul here on earth. He had a soul. And because of the soul, he had to make sure that he fed himself so much with the things of the spirit. He made sure that his spirit was stronger, and he made sure that the Bible says that in Luke chapter 2 that he grew in spirit. Very important, so that he does not go to the world for answers. So even at a very tender age, the Bible does not give us so much information about the growth of Jesus, how Jesus grew up. But for all we know in history, we know that for the Jewish people, when you are growing up, you are made to learn the Torah, made to learn the book of Moses. So it's something that they did, every child did, and even in schools they taught it. But Jesus Christ made a conscious effort to feed himself with the things of the spirit. So the Bible says that he went into synagogues when he got missing. He went to synagogues discussing with scribes, discussing with them. And it's not just discussing, but Jesus Christ, what he was doing is that he was making every conscious effort to make sure that his soul is always subjected to the spirit. So every single day, Jesus, the Bible says that he went to the synagogue as was his custom. Every single day Jesus prayed. The Bible says at early in the morning he would wake up and go to a solitary place and pray. The Bible says that every time he was in the synagogue. Why? Because Jesus understood that if he gave chances, because he had grown in this world, the systems of this world is bound to dictate to his soul. the systems of this world is bound to tell him what to do and what not to do. But because he had that understanding, he always fed his spirit so much that the soul was always succumbing to the spirit. So I want to put this to you, that your soul is very necessary for you to live a Christian life. As a matter of fact, anything that happens to you as a believer, your soul is waiting to get a response from either the world or your flesh or the spirit. Now, it is up to you to make that decision. In fact, accepting Christ was a decision of the soul. You heard the word and you decided to accept Christ. Now, when you accept Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in you and your spirit is born again, now it's up to you to every day make a decision to go by the spirit or go by the flesh. So Christians who live by the flesh are the people we call carnal Christians. I already explained what the flesh is last week. So anybody who lives by the precepts, the systems of this world. So the Bible says we are in this world but not of the world. So anybody who lives by the precepts of this world is a carnal Christian. Everybody who wants answers from the world. Whenever you meet a situation, you want answers from the world. The first point of call is for you to go into your intellect. It's for you to go into the things you've learned on this world. It's for you to seek advice from the world. You're a carnal Christian. But God expects us to always go to the Spirit for answers. Go to the Spirit for directions, for decisions. So if you are sick in your body, you go to the Spirit first. And if the soul succumbs to the word of God that is emanating from the spirit, you will see that your body will automatically respond. If you are going through bitterness, if you are going through anything, any psychological issue, if things are difficult for you in your Christian life, all you need to do is that go into your spirit. Because as you study the word of God and as you pray and as you fellowship, your spirit receives so much that the spirit wants to give to the soul. But if you don't go to God, if you don't go to Him, your soul will always have an alternative. That is why it's important to note the things that you listen to, the things that you believe in, the things that you watch, because these things are always feeding your soul. So the soul will always be aligned to the kind of information that you feed yourself with. So I want to tell you that your soul is so vital, so important. There are so many things that I want to say, but time wouldn't permit us. But I believe that this short audio has done justice to that. So you are a spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. So your spirit is always right, because your spirit is housing the Spirit of God. And so God lives in you. And you have a body which houses all of this. Yet in the body is also called the flesh, which was created as a result of the fall of man. And this flesh is so aligned and affiliated to the world that it will always suggest to you things of the world. But God expects us to go to God. That's why if you're a Christian and you don't pray every day, you don't study the word every day, what you're doing is that you're making your spirit dormant and you're giving the soul opportunity to always go to the flesh or to always go to the world for answers. That's why we keep on doing things we don't want to do. That's why we keep on falling asleep, going cold, growing cold every day. A Christian who does not fail to fellowship, a Christian who does not fail to go to church, a Christian who does not fail to read the Bible, a Christian who does not fail to pray. It's all because we've not intentionally allowed our soul to go to the Spirit. I want to admonish you that may you allow yourself, and I pray for you, that may you get a touch from God so that your spirit will be stronger. You will be able to feed your spirit. The Bible says bodily exercise profited but little, but spiritual exercise profited more. And what is spiritual exercise? Keep on praying. Keep on studying the word. Keep on fellowshipping. Now, fasting and all of those things, they are there to kill the flesh. And the more you do these things, you kill your flesh and you silence the voice of the flesh over your soul. The command of the flesh over your soul is lost. The more you do this thing, so now you become spiritual. A spiritual person is not someone who can just pray. A spiritual person is not someone who can just read the Bible. But a spiritual person is someone who always allows the soul to take decisions from the spirit. So with such a person, when you hit the person, when you offend the person, the first point of call is to go to the spirit. To go to the spirit means to go to God, to go to scripture, to go to God in prayer, in the word. What does the word say? The word says I should forgive. Immediately the person forgives and lets go. So your behavior, your reactions, how you think about things, how you talk, the kind of things, your motives, the kind of things you hold in your heart, these are the things that show that you are maturing. These are the things that show that your soul is saved. These are the things that show that you are growing in God. And you learn these things daily. And so you hear men of God say that you have to die daily to the flesh. You have to kill yourself daily to the flesh. How do you do that? By always going to the spirit, by always engaging yourself in the spirit, so much so that the soul knows that now I have my first point of call is the spirit. My first point of call is the spirit. And if the soul believes what the spirit says, it will manifest. That is the beauty of it. So anything that the soul believes, that is what manifests. So if the soul believes that you will not get healed because your body, the world system is telling you that you will not get healed. But if the soul believes in the word of the spirit, then the soul will hold on to what? And before you realize, it has materialized, it has manifested. Maybe you think you are good for nothing. Maybe you think that you are getting depressed because of certain issues that are coming your way. Circumstances are coming your way. But joy is in the spirit. Peace is in the spirit. So the moment you go to God in the spirit, the moment you align yourself with the spirit, then you begin to know that very thing that was causing you sleepless nights, that very thing that was causing you not to be stable, not to be happy, now all of a sudden you have a joy and peace in your heart, and it's as if those circumstances do not exist. It's not because they do not exist, but because you've aligned yourself to the spirit. And with time, you notice that these things that were bothering you are no more. And that is how it works. That is how you live a victorious life. That is how you live a Christian life. So the things that initially would get you angry for you to talk back or insult or hit someone or do something bad, now these very things happen to you. And now the Spirit of God is telling you in His word through prayer that don't do anything. Just let it be. And by the time you realize, you let it be, and people are seeing that, oh, you are really changed. So transformation is in the soul. So the salvation of the soul has to do with transformation. And that is the only evidence to show that you are growing. That is the only evidence to show that you are maturing. So if you're a Christian and you are still holding on to certain things, you are still holding on to temperamental behaviors. As for you, you are quick-tempered. As for you, you cannot organize things. As for you, you are this. As for you, you are this. It means that you are still allowing the world systems to dictate to you. You are still believing in the world system and have not aligned yourself to the word of God. If you are living in fear, the Bible says He did not give us the spirit of fear. If you are living in fear, too much fear, everything you are afraid, you are living in so much negativity. What is happening is that you are not allowing your soul to get to the spirit. Because the spirit has all the right things. The Bible says we'll be given everything pertaining to God and godliness and life. And so anytime you go to the spirit, so make sure that every morning when you wake up, go to the word of God. Pray, have your devotion, speak to God, tell the spirit of God to take charge of your life in that day. Now, as simple as this procedure or this is, what you have done is that you have allowed the soul to listen to the spirit. And so during the day, be praying. Every time, be praying. Speak to the spirit of God. Speak to God. Any opportunity you get, read some scriptures. Any opportunity you get things of the spirit into you. Because the more you do that, then your soul gets aligned to the spirit of God. And now your reactions, the way you think about things, what you believe, you see that your belief system begins to change. Then Romans 12:2 comes true, that you are being transformed by the renewal of your mind. And you do that by the word of God, by fellowshipping with the spirit. And as you do that, your soul will be transformed and everybody will see the change in you. And that is when you begin to experience the powerful and glorious things that God has for you. The Bible says that the heir, as long as he's a child, does not get to get the father's inheritance unless he grows. And how do you grow? You grow by maturing. And how do we see you have matured? We see you have matured when you let your soul get surrendered to the Spirit. God bless you so much. Have a wonderful week. I believe this was a very insightful one. And we will soon bring the series to an end. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Today, it was extended a bit. You forgive us for that. But I believe it was worth it. Bye-bye.